You're in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Last week, Chris O'Brien was off. It wasn't just a leisurely weekend off. He attended a UFO convention in Northern California in the Silicon Valley, and we had Nick Redfern on hand, and he had some very fascinating comments to make, particularly about whether there was a UFO crash or a series of UFO crashes in Kingman, Arizona. Anyway, Chris is back at the old stand, and he's a little bit ornery this week because this UFO convention didn't turn out so well.
Well, it wasn't that. It was just, you know, it was like I was in a nightmare of sorts. To me, it is absolutely imperative that this field come up with a way to vet people before they're given any sort of stage, podium, pulpit to start spewing their fairy tales to the masses. If I had known that certain individuals who were featured at this particular event were going to be there, I probably wouldn't have agreed to speak.
Can we spell Sean David Morton?
Oh, my God.
We exposed him the first year with our previous co-host.
The guy was the face. He was the host of the event.
Are you kidding me?
It was absolutely ludicrous. It's like the guy was given some sort of blank slate on which to work from. And to me, someone who narrowly escaped a very, very serious amount of prison time for bilking, I forget what the number was, but it was somewhere around $6 million. So I was calling him the negative $6 million man. The fact that he was able to somehow wiggle out of those SEC charges when they had him for the roast, he was the roaster, and he cracked a couple of funny jokes, but he wasn't as funny as he was made out to be, believe me. A little pathetic, actually, very juvenile. I have never seen somebody list themselves as Dr. Sean David Morton, PhD. It's like either you use the alphabets at the end or you call yourself doctor. You don't do both. And to me, it was just so indicative of a hyper, super inflated ego that it was walking around like, his proverbial murder didn't stink. And it did. I'm sorry. I've just got problems with giving someone like that, who obviously bilked millions of dollars out of people, to pretend like it didn't happen and he gets a do-over.
It's called etch-a-sketch moment. That's the official term nowadays in the political arena. But it's even worse, though. You know, you can give yourself any kind of title for your degree, your alleged degree. Like I would just occasionally, with Jim Mosley, we call ourselves BLT. That's our degree, bacon, lettuce, and tomato. So that's as authentic as what Sean David Morton has. And I remember when he was on the show back in 2006. We had him on a couple of times. And he'd make claims about knowing famous people. But when you actually looked up whether he knew these people, of course, it didn't happen. The guy was just making it all up. There was a guy named Ross Myers who started a site called UFOWatchdog.com, and we had control of it for a while. He's got it back. But his primary goal today is to continue to serve as a watchdog to the shenanigans of Sean David Morton. How was the attendance, by the way?
This was the first annual UFO Con, which I think was aptly named. And it was kind of picked up where Victoria Jacks left off of the UFO Expo, which she ran into the ground after 12 years. Bob Dean was left... he had to pay his own hotel room and didn't get his per diem. I think they left Charles Halt at the airport. It was just a nightmare. So the bookers who worked with Victoria, Brian Hall and his partner Lorian, were the ones that picked up the reins and are reestablishing this particular conference and venue. And they had maybe 250, 300 people there, but I'm telling you, it was like walking around in some sort of weird kaleidoscopic kind of daze. The true believer crowd was out in force, and it was pretty amazing to see the speaker panel was quite interesting. There was 13 of us crammed up there, from Alfred Weber, Andrew Bisaggio, Laura Eisenhower, to this new face on the block, Douglas Dietrich. Now, this guy is... he's a real piece of work, man. I need to do a little research on this guy because, boy, I tell you, he's coming up with some outrageous stuff. Revisionist World War II history, very interesting. Me, Rich Dolan, and I kind of were trying hard not to crack up at moments. But you know, the whole thing is that these people aren't vetted. Nobody's checking their credentials. In terms of outrageous claims, I mean, Andrew Bisaggio, I mean, this guy, he takes the cake. We got to get him on the show. I mean, he's very well spoken. He presents his information in a very matter of fact manner. I didn't sit through his presentation, but I slowly am becoming aware of some of the details of his claims of being a child time traveler for the government. And then of course, the brouhaha that arose about a month and a half ago, claiming that he was trained by Ed Dames, and he and Lorna Eisenhower met Barry Satoru, Barack Obama on Mars. I mean, I can't believe.
I'll tell you what, just listening to your stream of consciousness there, Barack Obama on Mars, and I understand, you know, we have a very polarized climate in the U.S., as people around the world who listen to the show know. And there are people who regard Obama as some kind of other, but not an other from another planet or may have traveled there, an other because he wasn't born in this country, allegedly. That's one of the conspiracy theories. But, you know, it sounds to me like you take a bullet point and you say, how many wacky things can I think of? And you make the largest bullet point list you can, and you read off them. It doesn't matter if you can't prove anything. But this guy, Andrew Bisaggio, you say he probably would come on the Paracast?
Well, he has shown interest in coming on the show, and I think he'd be a great guest. Very well spoken. The guy's got 3 or 4 degrees, he claims, and is a practicing lawyer in Washington State. So we're talking about a bright guy. I mean, Alfred Weber has a law degree from Yale. If these guys aren't delusional, then they've got to be some sort of plants in the field, disinformation agents or something. I can't for the life of me believe at face value some of the things that they claim. I mean, it doesn't matter what comes along. Weber's going to sign off on it pretty much. But this Bisaggio and Eisenhower characters, these two, I just don't know how people can suspend their disbelief and not question these people and find out. You know, they don't have any evidence whatsoever to back these claims up. I mean, nothing, zilch, nada. There's nothing there, to my knowledge, that would even allow them to be let into the building. You need something, anything besides just your version of events.
Now, let me ask you a question here. The people who put this event together, they're aware of the fact that these people have no real authority in the things they say. They were just looking to fill crowds and fill the audience.
Yeah, they were looking for, as Brian put it, we were looking for a wide range of speakers coming from various points of view within the field. I guess I was added as some sort of sideshow. I ended up there preaching to the crowd, saying, "Don't you understand? You're sitting in the pews of the Church of the New Religion. Can I get an amen?" You know, I was up there.
Oh, boy. This would have been fun. It sounds like it
would
have been fun.
Well, it's all taped, so I can't wait to see the tape. Of course, again, I tried to, you know, put a 4-hour talk into less than 90 minutes, so it was a little difficult. But I got comments from my talk were all over the board.
We'll go into that more maybe in our introductory part for the next show, because we have a guest today.
No, we do. Yeah. We do indeed.
Yeah, Mike Barra is author of a book called Ancient Aliens on the Moon.
Yeah, let's go to the moon.
Yes, we might be going to the moon with this subject, or we might follow what Jackie Gleason said so many years ago on that famous sitcom, To the Moon. I'll say to the moon, Mike. Something of that nature. Or this whole show may be out of space. I don't know, except he once co-authored a book with Richard Hoagland, I see. So,
yeah, well, we're going to have to get into that little association, I'm sure.
We're going to go into that. Mike Barra is coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? you go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk. Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world, camel milk, has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits, far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Mike Barra joining us. His latest book is called Ancient Aliens on the Moon, but his bio says he's a New York Times best-selling author. So, Mike, welcome to the Paracast. What book was the bestseller?
That was the book I co-wrote with Richard C. Hoagland. It was titled Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA. And we reached that pinnacle in 2007. It was really pretty exciting.
Okay, so what is the secret mission of NASA? Let's talk about that very briefly before we get to what's going on the moon.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we do talk about a lot of the artifacts on the moon in Dark Mission, but the difference between that book and this one is that Dark Mission was really focused not just on the reality that there are these ruins pretty much all over the solar system, but on the very extensive political cover-up that NASA's been engaged in since really the dawn of the space agency. And so it has a lot to do with the deeper conspiracy questions, the political issues, the politics of science, essentially how any idea that is, not part of the established orthodoxy is completely frozen out of any opportunity for, an open review, in the scientific literature. And it's a very closed system, and it's just something where, they do not allow you to speak of things that they do not approve of. And that,
okay, but the point we have to have here, Mike, is, so we have, of course, the claim that there are artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
On the moon, on Mars, the implication being these are intelligently constructed. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, it doesn't take very much of a set of eyes to really appreciate that this stuff is from a very highly advanced technology. And the interesting thing is that as alien as it must be because of our understanding of history, the reality is if you look at this structure, it does tend to follow human engineering standards, and that's one of the reasons why, with my engineering background, I kind of look at the stuff that was being presented and said, hey, this all makes sense from an engineering standpoint or an architectural standpoint. So
totally. We're still dealing with something, Mike, that is disputed. I mean, yeah, you may feel that these artifacts, and I assume you mean the face on Mars and all this stuff.
It's not disputed by anybody who knows what they're looking at or anybody who has a brain.
I understand that you believe these are not disputed, but you're saying that if someone says they don't believe these are intelligently constructed artifacts, they don't have a brain? That's going a little too far, don't you think?
I'm saying that there's no valid argument for that position.
Well, let's look at the arguments for your position. What makes you feel, and I assume Richard Hoagland probably agrees with you on a lot of these things, what makes you and Hoagland believe that, say, the face on Mars is really an artificial construction, not some kind of random Rorschach test?
Well, because there's nothing random about it, first of all. It has parallel lines, it has parallel segments, and there's two distinct halves, one of which, when you symmetry it over, is clearly a human face, one of which, when you symmetry over the other side, appears to be leonine. It appears to be a feline face. It has features at a very far away, from a very far away perspective. Clearly has artificial features. It's very symmetrical. And from a close-up perspective, it has very specific detailed features which indicate that it's a constructed artifact. And that includes all kinds of things. There's an eyeball in the eye socket. The eye itself is shaped on the right-hand side, is shaped like a human eye. It even has the implications of a tear duct. There's a brow ridge. There's nostrils in the nose. There's been some indication of teeth in the mouth from some of the images. And from all the different images we have of the face, just as an isolated object, it shows all the aspects that I think anybody would logically look for in a constructed artifact or a monument, as opposed to just some sort of random hill. I've never seen a random hill of any kind that even remotely resembles the face in terms of its overwhelming, facial characteristics.
Now, in addition to the face on Mars, and I'm going to ask you another question about that in a moment, what other artifacts might we see on Mars that might indicate some sort of intelligent presence at one time or another?
Well, all around the face, there are objects that have pyramidal shapes. There's a large object about a mile and a half across and about a mile and a half high called the DNM pyramid, which is a pentagonal pyramid. It's impossible for it to have been shaped by wind. It is got a very consistent internal geometry. There is a relationship. That geometry is related to other objects in the area, which also appear to be geologically anomalous. So in the case of the face on Mars, there's all kinds of different things around the face that also appear to be artificial. And DNM is, for instance, bilaterally symmetrical around two different axes. And that, again, is not something that ever happens in nature. It's not something that could happen in trillions of years, much less billions of years, which is the assumed age of our universe. So, you know, again, if space was completely isolated and there was nothing else around it, you could make the argument that it was just some amazing stroke of luck, I suppose, that this thing looked like this. But all around it are all kinds of other artificial objects, and they have significant, mathematically significant relationships, geometric relationships to each other. That's the interesting thing about Sidonia.
Okay.
And, of course, there's several other levels of detail we can go into about that if you want to talk about Mars.
Well, I think one of the things I want to ask about Mars, and we'll get to the moon in a moment, is we have NASA sending these probes, the lunar rovers, whatever, landing on Mars, checking it out for evidence of intelligent life in the past. But they're not looking at these artifacts, are they?
Actually, they are not looking at these artifacts specifically, but there are lots of interesting things that they've come across in their travels. There was, I believe it was Opportunity, came to an area called Home Plate about 5 or 6 years ago, which kind of looks like it might have once been the foundation of something artificial. And as you look around the debris field for what NASA says are rocks, what you actually see are objects that have characteristics of formed, fabricated, mechanical engineering. That's what I see. I see stuff that has, that look like wrecked air conditioners and pumps and all kinds of mechanical equipment that just happens to look, you know, conspicuously like artifacts. So the question is, you know, are they deliberately there looking for artifacts? Do they just not see this stuff? Which, of course, I don't believe for a minute. Or are these areas places where they felt they could land safely, do some private investigation, and be able to pass off what they show us as rocks to the average person who doesn't really grasp what they're looking at?
I've got a couple of questions for you, Mike. This is Chris O'Brien here. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris.
I just recently just got back yesterday from the UFO con in Santa Clara, California, where one of the speakers was this fairly recent arrival in the field named Andrew Bisaggio. Are you familiar with his claims about finding life on Mars a number of years ago? And have you seen any of the photographs that he purports are evidence of humanoid forms and other things on Mars? To me, it's just a case of an overactive imagination and some sort of pareidolia. But what's your take on his claims?
Mike, I have to ask you to hold off the answer for one second here. We've got to do a break.
Okay.
All right, so we'll get that out of the way. We have Mike Barra. He's author of Ancient Aliens on the Moon and other works. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food costs. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Every GCN listener deserves low-cost, high-quality survival and preparation products. Get yours now at CampingSurvival.com. For example, save on the Life Straw personal water filter for only $19.95, or the Water Bob emergency 100-gallon fresh water system only $24.95. Get one for every bathtub in your home. And Bridgeford Foods tasty ready-to-eat MRE sandwiches start at only $2.95 each. CampingSurvival.com is a convenient one-stop shop with over 17,000 urban wilderness and preparedness items, supreme customer service, very low shipping, and no games. We search the web to make sure we have the lowest prices. And remember, CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Do business with the authority on survival since 1956. CampingSurvival.com. Want more savings? Use coupon code GCN at checkout for a 5% discount. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Mike Barra joining us on the Paracast with Gene and with Chris. He's author of Ancient Aliens on the Moon, but he's also covered the mysteries of Mars. Now, Chris O'Brien had asked a very detailed question ahead of our break. Mike? You got the question. What's your response?
Well, first of all, before I get to Andrew, I'd like to deal with this idea of pareidolia. There's no such thing. It's an invented term. It is not a scientific term. It has never been investigated. There are no scientific papers on it. It was basically coined by a debunker, and I actually cover this in Ancient Aliens on the Moon a little bit. There's no such thing as a human tendency to see patterns where there are none. Now, having said that, there are people that do have somewhat overactive imaginations. I don't know this Andrew guy personally at all, Andrew Basiago. I don't know him very well. From what I've seen of what he's claiming, I'm not too impressed by it. There are funny-looking things, but you can also get tricked by, you know, by light and shadows. You could definitely be tricked by certain stuff. And I just have to say I don't know enough about his specific claims or his specific images to really make a comment on it. What we do have is we do have this sort of mythology about there being a secret space program that actually goes all the way back to the astronauts back in the Apollo era who were overheard by people that I know personally. So it is hearsay. So again, somebody told me.
Let me ask you before you say that, before you proceed with what they told you, Mike, the people who told you this personally, were they in the know?
They were not the people in the know, but they were sitting right there when the astronaut said, yeah, there's a secret space program. We're just spamming a can. They've already been to the moon. They've already been to Mars. So these rumors have been floating around since the early 1960s when these conversations were overheard. But the question is, you know, I think Andrew has claimed that he's actually been to Mars in one of these hyperships that he's flying off.
I was going to get to that.
Yeah, I can't comment on it because I don't know much about his claims in detail. And I prefer to stick with the stuff that I can really put my finger on and feel is very solid and that I really, you know, say to myself, okay, this this is something that I think I can, it's not just somebody's story. I can actually back it up with, I think,
right. Good answer. Very good answer. Here's my other question. Richard Hoagland is not known as the, maybe as much of a team player as some people would like him to be. I'm interested to know what it was like working with him on Dark Mission, and in light of some of the relationships that he's had in the past that kind of went south. I would imagine he would not be the most the easiest guy to work with, that he would be kind of difficult. What was it like working with him on that project? It's a very good book, by the way.
Well, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that. It is not easy to work with him. He's very demanding. He's a perfectionist. He has his own perspective on everything. And I will say this, that in working with him for about 15 years, the vast majority of the time, he ends up in the long run being proven correct. There's very few things that I feel like that I've worked with him on, certainly, that I don't feel like we can back up very, very solidly. So, It's difficult. It was Dark Mission was a huge project. It was a very, very detailed, and he's a demanding person, but that's how he gets to so many things that he gets to. In other words, if he didn't have that very intense and singular focus, he wouldn't have found all the things that he's found. And I think he's found some extraordinary stuff on the moon, on Mars, in other places. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just not that easy to be as intense about everything as he is. It's more that I think the people mistake his, it's that singular focus is sometimes mistaken for selfishness. And really it's just that he wants to get the information out, and he's very demanding about the way in which it's presented. And, you know, if your name is going to be on it, I guess I can understand that. So, you know, I mean, again, the thing is that these books, I would love, with Ancient Aliens on the Moon and hopefully the next one, Ancient Aliens on Mars, I would love to be working with him on these projects, but it is just, it's like, wow, you gotta add a lot of extra time to it and a lot of extra detail and maybe things I didn't want to go into if I'm going to work with Richard on it. It's going to be his show.
Okay, but I wanted to ask you more about the secret space program since we raised it. Do you personally believe that there was and or is a secret space program?
Well, I think there certainly is a lot of evidence.
I'm not meaning like sending up spy satellites or stuff like that. We understand.
No, I know what we're talking about like UFO technology. So just to answer it in a very short term first, absolutely. I think that we've had flying saucer technology, us meaning the United States, probably since the 1950s or early 60s. And this
is stuff that comes from Roswell. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it could have come from Roswell, another place. Could have come from is the Nazi program, the very advanced physics the Nazis were involved with. If you really are into that, you want to read Dr. Joseph Farrell's books, especially Reich of the Black Sun and the Brotherhood of the Bell.
Well, and Henry Stevens as well.
Yeah, okay, I don't know so much about him, but where they were working with this very, very advanced unified field type of technology. And, you know, my second book, The Choice, in that book I really talk about how physics got all messed up and it kind of went sideways back in the early 20th century. And meantime, the Germans didn't feel at all constricted by Einstein or by Newton or relativity, and they went off in some very bizarre directions. And created some really interesting technologies that somehow just sort of disappeared in the late 1950s. Now, another thing.
Disappeared how?
Well, they just kind of went out of the literature. There was a lot of research going on in terms of magnetic drives and counter-rotating magnetic fields and stuff that was in the public, and then it all just sort of dried up and went away. But what was really interesting is that, you know, in The Choice, in my previous book, I did talk about the fact that Wernher von Braun had this problem that he discovered, which was that the Explorer 1 spacecraft ended up in an orbit about 600 miles higher than it was supposed to. And immediately after that, he began to ask questions of people like Jacques Allais, who is actually an economist that dabbled in physics, that found out, for instance, that free-swinging pendulums will go backwards against the rotation of the Earth during eclipses. And he began to investigate these field propulsion theories. He went to talk to some other German doctors. So what I suspect is that there's a sort of a private space program that already knew all this stuff, and the public space program, the von Braun and those people, didn't really know about this this advanced physics research, but they kind of discovered it by accident when all of their spacecraft started ending up in places other than where they were supposed to be. And they begin to realize that they were somehow getting more energy into the systems, into the rocket system, than they expected. And they had to kind of get that problem fixed before they could actually go to the moon and come back and return safely. So that's something that implies to me that the public sector space program, in their sort of secret stuff, spy satellite people, the CIA types, discovered this themselves in the early 1960s. So if that's the case, then I think we can probably ascribe an awful lot of UFO sightings probably to our own, experimental spacecraft.
Okay, if there's a secret space program, how far has it gone? Have we already gone to Mars, for example? Have we returned to the moon since the 1970s?
That I don't know from personal experience. I have talked to people that have offered me a ride on one of them on the condition that I could never talk about it. Or I'd assume room temperature very quickly. And I said, well, what's the point of going if I can't tell anybody what I saw, So I turned down that offer to this point. But, there are people that I do know. This is a person that I know personally that I do know is well-connected. And if he's telling me that this stuff is out there, then I'm going to assume that stuff is out there. You've also got the whole, if you remember the Serpo.org thing, controversy that came up about 5 years ago.
And I'll tell you what, frankly, we did not believe the Serpo at all. It sounded like a red herring. It sounded like a prank. It sounded like disinformation. So we didn't take it seriously.
But if any part of it is true, then that means we have had some extraterrestrial contact over the years, and we may have learned things from them, too. So, I don't know. It's actually interesting that these two questions about Hoagland and about the secret space program are connected, because before I did my second book, The Choice, Richard and I were discussing Dark Mission 2, the secret space program.
We have Mike Barra. His latest book is Ancient Aliens on the Moon, but we're talking about secret space programs and stuff on Mars, too, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
The book is called Ancient Aliens on the Moon, which is coming out this month. It is only one of a number of works from our guest, Mike Barra, who's also written with Richard Hoagland. We're talking about the mysteries of Mars, the moon, ancient artifacts, present artifacts, who knows, secret space programs, so much more. Chris, you have a question from one of our listeners?
Since we're starting out on Mars, Ufology, one of our longtime posters and a very active poster at forum.theparacast.com, has a question for you, Mike, about the Mars probe Curiosity. He says it was lowered to the surface by a sky crane, a precision rocket-powered platform that allegedly just flew away and crashed after it was done lowering the rover to the surface. This seems like an incredibly stupid thing for the brightest minds in our space crew program to do, unless they didn't really crash it. How do we know for sure that it's not being used for some clandestine mission?
Well, we don't know, you know, we can't prove a negative. We don't know anything for sure about that. Although I will say that there was, you know, one of the first pictures Curiosity took was there seemed to be this sort of dust cloud in the distance. And there is speculation that that is where the sled, the rocket sled, basically crashed. I can understand the suspicion because it seems like a real waste of an expensive piece of equipment, but there are limitations on rocket fuel and things like that. So, you know, you can't discount the possibility or the probability that it's pretty much was designed exactly the way they said it was. I don't know what the clandestine mission would be. It seems to me if you look at the images that have come out of Curiosity so far, and again, our friend Mr. Hoagland's spending a lot more time on that than I am right now. You know, there seems to be a really slow release pattern in terms of the images that are being presented. I'm sure they have far more images than they've released to this point. And some of the early images didn't really show you the big mountain there. I forget the name of the mountain. But the first early images showed some stuff that I thought was pretty interesting looking. But then subsequent images, they really didn't focus on that very much. And now when we look at it, it looks pretty mundane. So I think it's more likely that they've been hanging on to some of the better photographs and images, actually I should call them images, than it is that the sled had any sort of super secret mission. I mean, from a conventional rocket design standpoint, the way it was designed, you know, seems to have worked pretty well, and it seems fairly logical. I don't know what that super secret mission for the platform would be, because we've got if you saw some of the pictures, you saw the amazing picture from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter of the parachutes, you know, in great detail as Curiosity was parachuting down to the Martian surface. We got pretty good cameras up there right now.
So I have another question. This one's from Wester71. He's been a poster in the forum for a year. He says, besides relying on photos provided by others, is there a way oneself could retrieve their own evidence? As an example, how powerful of a lens would be needed in my telescope to see something so small so far away? What do you think of Google Moon or Google Mars? Silly question, I realize. However, all great things start in these manners. Maybe next is Google Galaxy.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting if you want to talk about Google Galaxy. I mean, some people have, very interestingly, they focused up on Google Sky at the star Sirius, and it is blocked out. There's a big, like, paper carton, like a construction paper splatter over Sirius. Like, what is it about Sirius that they don't want us to see in Google Sky? That's pretty interesting because, again, in Dark Mission, we talked about how Sirius and the goddess Isis, which it represents in the Egyptian mythology, is really important to NASA. So I found some things very curious about that. You know, Google Earth, I was just looking at something where there appeared to be photographs of what looked like pyramids being constructed at Area 51 that were in Google Earth and are no longer in Google Earth. Yeah, I think Google, the whole Googlepedia complex, I think that they're compromised. They're definitely, you know, owned by the powers that be, and I don't think that we're going to find much from them.
I wanted to jump in there. You're saying that sure. Google is controlled by the powers that be, or maybe just their access?
Well, I call it Googlepedia. It's sort of an unholy alliance between Wikipedia and Google. And, you know, Wikipedia, they basically have this group of NASA brown shirts who go around, and anytime you try to change the page on the Face on Mars, for instance, to put anything factual or accurate in there, they go in within 30 seconds or a minute and take it out. And it's just that you can't trust the information on there.
Now, you're saying this is being done by NASA, not by individuals?
Well, yeah, but these are individuals who I guarantee you have some affiliation with NASA, or at the very least are members of the Planetary Society or whatever. And what I've found is that a lot of them are usually people that are working in, you know, various capacities for NASA, that their funding comes from NASA.
You're looking at the names.
I'll give you a specific example of this.
Okay, sure.
I'll give you a specific example of this. And one of them is that, you know, on the Face on Mars page, there is a description there where, you know, they talk about how NASA took the picture and told everybody that it was just a trick of light and shadow, and they turned out to be correct. And I've gone in there several times, tried to put in the exact quote that Dr. Gerald Sofman put in, which is what he said was, is that, you know, we took an image of this thing, but on the next orbit, a couple of hours later, it wasn't there, it all went away. It was just, you know, isn't it amazing what tricks of light and shadow can do? Well, the fact is that 2 hours later, first of all, the Viking orbiter was a polar orbiter, meaning that the planet continued to rotate underneath the spacecraft. The next orbit was hundreds of miles away from Sidonia. It wasn't anywhere near the face of Mars. It could not have taken a picture because at that time, Sidonia, at any rate, was in darkness. It was nighttime. So that was a lie. I've tried to put that actual real quote in there must have been a dozen times. And there's always these people that come in. There's several different ones. You know, I looked them up, and they work at universities that are funded by NASA. They work on programs, and they immediately take it out. So, again, it's all being edited, and I'm just saying that you can't completely trust what you see on Google Earth or Google Moon or Wikipedia. And I tend to call it Googlepedia just because I at this point, you know, I think it's great for general stuff, but I don't think that it's something that I would rely on for anything that involves any kind of scientific controversy.
Now, I want to go back to the secret space program. More detail, because if we have secret space programs where we're farther advanced along the curve, why do we have a public space program where all we're doing is cutting back?
Well, it seems to me that what's really interesting, and again, going back to some of Richard Hoagland's work, this is really interesting because he created a graph about 5 years ago where he showed the advancement in transportation technology, starting with human beings walking at 6-7 miles an hour. And then he went to, you know, horseback, which can get you up to about, 18-20 miles an hour. And then we went from there to, I guess, the steam train and automobiles and propeller airplanes and jet airplanes and then rockets. And this curve, if you look at it, in terms of our transportation technology, it goes straight up. It's just a straight up curve. And then in 1960, right about 1960, we developed rockets. And ever since then, it's a straight line. For the last 50, 60 years now, we have not advanced at all in terms of our transportation technology. We haven't increased our speed. We're still using chemical rockets. And if you look at the curve and the development, that's just not logical. That's just not that's not the way things are developed. You look at microprocessor technology and how it continues to develop. You don't have these drop-offs. So what he's argued, and I think it's very logical, is that somewhere along the line, they must have developed the next technology beyond rockets. And again, going back to the Wernher von Braun story, this is a prime example of where somebody was looking into these fuel propulsion technologies, and there were papers by German physicists that were out there talking about these ideas. So you had this sort of confluence of information, and then it just sort of disappears and people stop talking about it publicly in the 1960s. And we have this rocket technology, and then we just flatline in terms of our transportation speeds. So logically, the thing to me is I look at that curve and I say, okay, obviously we must have discovered the next thing beyond rockets, but it's all being kept secret. It's all being used just by those that are in charge. And,
right.
You know, again, there's all kinds of political.
That brings up that very enigmatic quote that we get from Ben Rich, who was a longtime head of the Skunk Works out of Palmdale. In that quote was, "We have the technology to take E.T. home." And everything that you've seen out there on Star Trek and stuff is already a reality.
You know, there was a story this week, by the way, that they appear to be making more progress towards finding out what's going on with regard to developing a warp drive. And maybe we can do that. You heard about that.
Mm-hmm. I saw that, so what they really said in the articles, which was I thought pretty interesting, is that it's really only a question of power. It's a question of, can you get a power source to actually do this? With the proper power source, you can create this sort of toroidal shaped spacecraft that can actually, you know, create, I guess, some kind of gravity well and warp and bend space and appear to move faster than light. Or in actuality, I guess you are moving faster than light. And there's lots of experiments, things I talk about in The Choice, that where we have had objects move faster than light. So the whole idea that you can't go faster than light is kind of a myth anyway. But
I'll tell you, we'll get into more of this stuff coming up. We have Mike Barra. The book is Ancient Aliens on the Moon, the current book, but we've covered a lot more. And right now we're going into warp drive. Warp 12, Chris, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Barracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.